The Stanley Cup playoffs are back in Smashville. Round one, game three, and most importantly, home game number one for the Preds in this first round series against the Colorado Avalanche. Coming your way, puck drop at 3:30 here at Bridgestone Arena here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're driving into the game, walking around downtown, we got hockey talk all the way up until then to get you ready here on your radio home for Preds hockey, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Max Herz. This is Preds Extra Pregame. I'll be with you for the next hour and a half until 2:30 when Darren McFarland and the Lee Company Nashville Predators pregame show across the radio network will take over. Then a little bit after 3:30, puck drop here in Smashville. And boy, do the Preds need to be back home. And thankfully, they're here. They're here trailing the series 2-0 after a lopsided loss in game number one of the series Tuesday night out in Denver. Got down very quickly 5-0 with David Rittich in goal. Connor Ingram came in, settled things down. Game was still not close. Ended up being a 7-2 Avalanche win to take game one of the series. Thursday night was a different story. It was similar in some ways. The Avs still had the vast majority of the puck possession. They had the much better scoring chances in the game. And they were able to limit the Preds more often than not. But Connor Ingram, in his first ever NHL playoff start, just his fourth NHL start period in goal, the Preds organizational third string goalie made 49 saves. The only two goals against him in the 2-1 loss, on the first shot on goal he faced from Nathan MacKinnon a little over 5 minutes in, that made it 1-0 Avs. And then the last shot he faced, 8.5 minutes into sudden death overtime, Cale Makar from the point beat Connor Ingram for a 2-1 Colorado Avalanche overtime win. And man, was Connor Ingram good. He was absolutely unbelievable in that game. And he will start once again in goal for the Preds today in game number three at home. After the game, Ingram said that shot from Cale Makar from the point, the overtime game winner, it was the first shot he faced all day that he didn't have his eyes on. He was so positionally sound, so good with his glove, and had such good rebound control in that game. It took 68 minutes of hockey for the best offensive team in the NHL and the Avalanche to get one on him that he didn't see. Man, was he special. 21 saves in the second period alone from some of the best shooters in the NHL. Just a special game for Connor Ingram, but the Preds are going to need him to do it again. Not able to win that game. Avalanche win it in overtime. A game that was tied 1-1 from the end of the first period on. Preds tied it up 15 minutes and 19 seconds into the first period. Yakov Trenin, a rush chance, set up beautifully by Roman Josi. Got a D-to-D pass in the Preds' D zone from Alex Carrier. Preds were in the middle of a change, so Josi and Carrier were out together on defense, not normal partners. Josi was on the left wing wall as the Preds looked to build up, but he looked all the way across the ice. He not only looked far ahead, two-line pass across the neutral zone, but went left to right, too. And he caught the Avs being a little bit too aggressive. Former Predator and current Av defenseman, old friend Sam Girard, went down to a knee, baseball style, to try and keep that bouncing pass in front of him. He didn't do it. It went right through him, and it created a rare chance where the Preds had numbers this series. They've had trouble gaining numbers. The odd man chances have pretty much all gone to the Avs, and they've also had trouble getting to the scoring areas. Well, Yakov Trenin led the 2-on-1, able to accomplish both. Got to a high danger area, had an odd man rush chance, an open look on goal. He buried it for what was really the first Preds meaningful goal of the series. Their only two goals in game one made it 6-1 and then 7-2. Those are meaningful goals for Matt Duchene against his former team, but in the story of those games, those goals did not mean much. The Predators did not have a chance to come back in that game when those goals went in. They meant something for the team big picture in the series, but not in terms of their ability to win that game. So this goal meant something, and Yakov celebrated like it. Big jump into the boards. We've seen him do it before, but a big goal for Yakov Trenin, who I would argue was the Preds' best skater on Thursday night. He was everywhere. He was in all three zones. He was good with the puck and without the puck. And he was able to make the third line, the herd line, as they call them on TV, the beast line, as Hal Gill has called them on radio since day one. That line was present. That line was back. And with the crowd behind them, the Preds are going to need a little more scoring depth. They'll also have the ability to create some more matchups as the home team with the last change on whistles. So we'll see who the herd line goes up against today. We'll see who John Hines is able to employ his top forward guns against today with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene on the wings and either Mikael Granlund or Ryan Johansson in the middle, depending on what side of the offensive zone the faceoff is on. But I'm curious to see how the matchup game goes today, because it's not just the crowd support that you get when you come home, and boy, do the Preds need it. We felt at the beginning of both of those games, Tuesday and Thursday, the Preds were back on their heels. The Avalanche were letting the crowd fuel them. Not that they really need any help. Those guys are good. That is a really, really good team. Top team in the Western Conference that the Preds are playing here in the first round. They didn't need the help, and they got it. Preds will not only have the boost from their fans today, but they'll also have the ability to match up a little bit more. And against a team that's as deep as the Avs, we'll see if the Preds are able to use that to their advantage. And because of that, I would expect even higher than usual ice time numbers for the Preds' big guns, specifically at forward, Forsberg, Duchene, Granlund, Johansson. Hopefully Phil Tomasino, if he's back in the lineup after being a healthy scratch on Thursday. And then on D, Roman Josi could play 30 minutes tonight. Especially if the game goes to overtime once again. He played 28 minutes on 31 shifts in the game that got less than 10 minutes into overtime on Thursday. Over 4 minutes of that was power play time, 23 minutes of even strength time, and then a little bit of shorthanded time as well for Josi, who doesn't normally kill penalties, but we'll see him get a shift or two in, especially on extended shorthanded stretches or a couple of penalties in the same sequence. So a little bit of a quick turnaround, too. The Predators got back yesterday. They have not been on the ice at all since that overtime loss in Denver on Thursday night. They didn't practice yesterday because they were traveling. They did not have a morning skate today because of the earlier start time with puck drop at 3:30 local time here in Nashville. So this will be their first time on the ice, and they'll have fresh legs, but again, a little bit of a quick turnaround just because this game is earlier in the day as part of a quadruple header, as they'll have on all weekend days of this first round here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Max Herr is with you here on Preds Extra. We got a couple of great guests coming your way in the next 45 minutes. Coming up next segment, a man who played for both the Predators and the Avalanche, the great Cody McLeod, will join us to talk about this series, his career. The Preds have been fighting up a storm this year. We know Cody did that as well as anybody for the 12 seasons, he was in the NHL. He's also been in the AHL the last three seasons, including this year when he was the captain of the Minnesota Wilds minor league affiliate in Des Moines, Iowa, the Iowa Wild. So Cody will join us in a little less than 10 minutes, around 1:15. Really looking forward to talking to him. And is there anybody better to have to talk about Preds, Avs in the playoffs than Cody McLeod? Oh, by the way, he was a member of the Predators 2017 Western Conference Championship team. That was the lowest seed in the conference. This year's Preds team, also the lowest seed in the Western Conference. So I'm curious to ask him about the mentality of that team that we know did so many great things as underdogs. They swept the Blackhawks in the 1-8 series in the first round. And the playoff format's different now, so it's technically not 1 seed versus 8 seed. But it is. The Avs are the team with the most points in the West. The Preds are the last team in the West. 2017 Preds swept that series, didn't even give up a goal in the first two games on the road. So by the time they got to where they are right now in this series, that 2017 Preds team was gotten home. They hadn't allowed a goal, and they led the series 2-0. So a little bit of a different face of challenges that the Preds are facing right now here in 2022. But I'm really curious to hear Cody's thoughts on all of that. Talk to him about his career, too. He was the captain of the Iowa Wild this season in the AHL. And you take the over on Cody McLeod penalty minutes whenever you can. 141 PIMs in the AHL this year. Preds legend Cody McLeod, one of my favorites. So I want to thank him in advance for coming on. He will be on with us next segment. And then right around 1:45, We will head out to Western Canada, to Kamloops, British Columbia, where Marty Hastings is. Marty works for Kamloops This Week, which is one of the main sports outlets in Kamloops, BC, and he covered Connor Ingram's 3 years of junior hockey for the Kamloops Blazers. So Marty has covered Connor for a long, long time. He interviewed his parents before it was cool, when he was first going into the World Juniors around the 2016 holiday season. So looking forward to talking with Marty at 1:45 here in Nashville, 11:45 his time for our friends listening in Western Canada in British Columbia, where Connor, who is originally from a small town in Saskatchewan, Imperial, Saskatchewan, moved a couple of provinces west to play his junior hockey in the Western League for the Kamloops Blazers. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Cody McLeod. We'll have some fun as we get you ready for Preds and Avs Game 3. Max Herr is with you. Jared Cassidy, our producer. You're listening to Preds Extra Pregame here on your radio home for Preds Hockey, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Preds Extra Pregame here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herz here at Bridgestone Arena getting you ready for Game 3 of the Preds' first round series against the Avalanche. Coming your way at 3:30 here on 102.5 The Game. We will be talking Preds hockey live here all the way up until then. And we welcome in our first guest of the day, a fan favorite here in Smashville, played for both teams in this series, the Preds and the Avs. Want to welcome in former Preds winger Cody McLeod to the show. Cody, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem.
So welcome back to Smashville. I know your season just ended in the AHL, back with your family. What's it like just getting your summer started and getting able to be back with them?
Yeah, it's been great. I've been taking the kids to softball, soccer, keeping busy. So it's been a lot of fun for sure.
Cody McLeod's our guest, former Preds and Avalanche forward. Cody, have you had a chance to watch either of the first two games of this series so far with your two former teams?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of the first one and watched all the second game two. Preds looked a lot better game two, and they put up a good fight. So looking for more of the same this afternoon.
You were part of that 2017 Preds team that was the last team into the playoffs and swept the Blackhawks in the opening round, went on a run all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. What's it like being that last team in and not only knowing how hard you had to fight to get there, but the challenge you have up against the best team in the first round?
Yeah, it was that was a lot of fun. We just snuck into the playoffs there, and then we got matched up against Chicago, and we won the first two games on the road and in Chicago, and then coming home, the fans were awesome, and we ended up sweeping them and kind of got everybody behind us in the city, and we didn't really look back after that. It was a lot of fun. There was guys stepping up and coming up from the minors, playing really well, getting put in different positions, and you just talk to the guys that were on the team. It was a lot of fun for sure. It's too bad we lost in the final, but at least we got there.
Obviously a different situation now with the Preds coming home down 2-0 to the Avs instead of you guys being ahead of the Blackhawks 2-0. In a situation where you're down like that and know you're up against a great team, what's the belief factor coming home? Do you really need to come out and win that game three to believe you can still win it?
Yeah, I think that's got to be their mindset going in. You look around, there's only, I think, three or four teams ever coming back from a 3-0 deficit. So that makes game three really big today. And I thought that Connor Ingram played really well the other night. So looking for him to have another big game. And I don't know, we'll just kind of wait and see. So the boys will be ready. It should be a fun one.
Former Preds winger Cody McLeod is our guest here on Preds Extra Pregame. Cody, obviously these Avs are so unbelievably skilled and so fast. How do the Preds level that playing field?
Yeah, I think you just got to somehow slow them down. Get on the body and be physical and get on the forecheck. It's crazy how fast Colorado is. They're a fun team to watch, and I think that would be the biggest thing is just try to slow them down, and that's what I'll be kind of watching today. It'll be an exciting game.
You experienced the beginning of this Avs rebuild in your last two seasons there, including the season where you were traded to Nashville.
and then, of course, experienced the beginning and middle part of a lot of these Preds' great players' careers. What's it been like for you to see the trajectory of both these teams?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You look at Colorado, Nathan McKinnon's really taken off, and Rantanen, he was just coming in when I was there, and he's really developed into a good player. They got good leadership there with Landeskog, and they added some pieces. Kadri, he's doing a heck of a job there too. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And Nashville, same there too. They got, you see that Tanner Janot this year. He's played really well for them. And Duchesne's had a great year. Johansson, Forsberg. So, yeah, they great teams, great players on both teams. And hopefully Nashville can get a win tonight and get the series back in their favor a little bit.
Second week of January 2017, Cody, you were traded from the Avs to the Preds, 10 years with the Avs. It was the only NHL team you had ever played on. And then in your first game with the Preds, you score against the Avs. What sticks with you from that goal?
I actually ended up staying in Denver when I got traded and just met the team in the visiting locker room. And I didn't really know anybody out in Nashville at the time. So everything was kind of new. And I just remember couldn't wait for the game to start. And it was a lot of fun. Those guys on that team were awesome. They made me feel very welcome. And it was nice to get a goal that game. We ended up winning and then that we went on that run that whole the rest of the year, so pretty memorable for sure.
What did it mean to you to get a chance to play in all the playoff games you did in 2017?
Yeah, it was exciting. Just remembering the fans there, it was crazy. The whole city seemed to be behind us, and it was a lot of fun and great memories for sure.
You were known, of course, as a fighter for such a long time in the NHL, including here in Nashville. And this year's Preds team led the league in fighting majors by far and have kind of brought it back old school on a lot of teams. They have so many guys who are willing to fight. They'll fight twice in a period. Guys will fight on their first shift. What do you think about the new look fighting Predators? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good. They got some big boys on their team, Janot, McCarron. I think Olivier was playing the first two games. So, yeah, those guys are big bodies. They're tough, and they'll put a little fear into whatever team they're playing. So, yeah, it's good to see. I always like to see the tussles once in a while. So,
even in the newer game when that happens less and almost never in the playoffs, how do you measure the impact that has on a team within a game?
Yeah, I think in the playoffs, more just the hitting, like the bone-crushing hits, and it wears other teams down. And especially when you're on the forecheck going back for pucks and you got their D-man looking over their shoulder because they know they're going to get plastered into the boards. So eventually over a seven-game series, that's going to wear guys down. And it definitely has a big impact on it.
Cody McLeod is our guest, former Preds and Avalanche winger, member of the 2017 Stanley Cup finalist Nashville Predators team here on Preds Extra Pregame, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cody, what are some of your favorite memories from the spring of 2017?
Everything. Just winning those playoff series. I think we won every playoff series at home in the Bridgestone. So that was pretty memorable. It was a lot of fun and still talk to lots of those guys that I played with, and it was awesome. I'd never gone to the Stanley Cup, and the whole city, like I said earlier, everything about it was awesome. It was people were, I think they had concerts before our games outside and on Broadway there, and it was somebody else singing the anthem every other game. So it was some country singers were singing singing the anthem. It was just nuts. It was a lot of fun and like I said, it's too bad we didn't get it done, but it was a heck of a ride, that's for sure.
Cody McLeod's our guest. Cody, let's talk about your career. You were the captain of the Iowa Wild this season, Minnesota Wild's AHL affiliate. What have the last 3 years in Des Moines playing in the AHL been like for you?
It's been good. Tim Army, who I had as an assistant coach in Colorado, he actually called me there 3 years ago after I was done with Nashville and asked if I wanted to keep playing. And he would let me come back here to Nashville quite a bit to see my family because they stayed here. It's been great helping the young guys kind of develop and teach them the ropes a little bit. And there's quite a few guys that I've played with over the last couple of years that are up in Minnesota now. So it's been good. I didn't know how much I'd like it, but I've really enjoyed it. And there's a lot of great guys there, and it's good to see the young guys how hard they have to work to get up there, and they're always asking questions. So it's been good.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but is it true that the last game of now two seasons ago, 2020-2021, you told them you might be retiring, so they let you wear the C for a game, and then you decided to come back, and they gave it to you for the whole season?
They wanted me to come back for another year, and so I did, and it was a lot of fun. We had a good year. We kind of lost some players. Well, it's about 10 games to go, went up to Minnesota, but that's how it works when guys are getting hurt and stuff like that. So we came up a little short, but overall it was a pretty good season.
Do you know if you plan to return to them again next year, or is it too early?
I don't know. Not sure yet. We'll see what happens.
That's awesome. Cody McLeod, we're rooting for you to keep going there up in Des Moines. The captain of the Iowa Wild this year, and you heard him say it, his family's still in Nashville, so happy to have you living here in Nashville with your family, Cody. So many big fans of yours, especially from that run in 2017. Thanks so much for doing this, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
That's Cody McLeod, Preds winger on that 2017 Stanley Cup finalist team. 10 years with the Avs as well. Who better to break down the series and the fight happy Preds than the great Cody McLeod here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll take a break, come back, keep previewing Game 3 of the Preds and Avs first round series. Back here in Smashville, puck drop at 3:30 today. We'll be talking hockey all the way up until then. So keep it here. My name's Max Herz. You're listening to Preds Extra Pregame here on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Preds Extra Pregame from Bridgestone Arena here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz, coming to you from the Patron Platinum Club on the second level of Bridgestone Arena. Darren McFarland will take over a little over an hour from now for the Lee Company Nashville Predators Radio Network pregame show. And then at 3:30, it's time for Game 3, Preds and Avs. Predators trying to win game one on home ice after falling down 2-0 out in Denver on Tuesday and Thursday earlier this week. I want to say a big thank you to Cody McLeod for joining us. Cody has absolutely no obligation to say yes to an interview request like that in his off season. Like you heard, he was in the AHL this year. His team did not make the playoffs, like you said, because the Minnesota Wild basically took their best handful of guys down the stretch because of all the injuries that they had. So missed the playoffs by a couple of points, and they're actually in the Milwaukee Admirals division in the AHL, Preds affiliate. But he's back home here in Nashville, in the Nashville area, back with his family, and nice of him to do that, especially on a Saturday as well. So dare I say, Preds legend Cody McLeod. I'm going to say it. If you don't agree with me, then we can debate that further. But the great Cody McLeod on the show. So great to hear from him, and man, would he have fit in on the Preds this year. 100%. I mean, more fights than anybody else in the league by far. And Cody knew how to chuck him better than absolutely anybody. But maybe his best memory as a Pred in the regular season, at least, scoring that goal in his Preds debut off a centering pass from Harry Zolnarchuk. McLeod drove the net, tapped it in out there in Denver. That's such perfect timing on the trade. If I'm making a trade, if I'm on the Avs side making that trade and the Preds want Cody McLeod, I'm going to say, we're going to keep him for the game against you first, because we don't just not want that to happen. We don't want him to fight somebody on our team, too, in front of our own fans. But Preds got him in mid-January 2017. He scores that goal, and the big toothless grin on the way back to the bench for Cody McLeod. So great to have Cody on the show. We have another guest coming up in a little less than 15 minutes. Marty Hastings will join us from Kamloops this week out there in BC. That's where Connor Ingram played his junior hockey for the Kamloops Blazers. So we'll talk about Ingram's career, his junior career, his time in the World Junior Championship, and more with Marty. Should be fun to get an even bigger picture on the Connor Ingram that we've gotten to know really well over the last few days and really over the last couple of years, too, since he was traded to the Predators in the 2019 offseason. The Tampa Bay Lightning took him in the top 100 of the NHL draft when he was still a junior player in Kamloops. But he did not get in the NHL with them, and they basically wanted to get rid of him. He had some off-ice issues, which here, once he got to Nashville, he was diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder, joined the NHL Player Assistance Program, went to rehab, and he got it all figured out. And there have been some great articles this week, both by Paul Skorbina from the Tennessean and Adam Vingan from the Athletic here in Nashville, talking about Ingram, his family, what he's overcome. And it's a story that's been very well chronicled and now is a big success story, as he said, had such an unbelievable 49-save performance in Game 2 of the series in Denver on Thursday night. And guess what? This is his first time playing for the Predators at Bridgestone Arena today. He made three appearances in the regular season, three starts. They were all on the road. One of them was the last game of the season, eight nights ago in Arizona. And then two in October when David Riddick had COVID. So Ingram became the backup goalie, made two road starts, won one of them. So he was 1-2 in the regular season. Now has faced a high volume of rubber in two playoff appearances, including one start. And he will get that second start today. And maybe the most notable thing on Connor Ingram, yes, he stops pucks. Yes, he's overcome a major mental health challenge. But he's a funny dude. And most hockey players are funny. Whether they're English speakers or non-English speakers, it's a sport where it's a real team comedic culture. You're chirping everybody. You're smiling and laughing. It's a serious game, but these guys are really able to turn it on and off, which is impressive, especially to the layman. But Connor Ingram, maybe as funny as it gets. And it's very dry, low-volume humor. Earlier in the season, when Sarah Giles, who runs the Preds social media, was filming the tunnel, as she normally does after a win, and Matthias Ekholm will be singing Olé, 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 and other guys will be screaming at the camera, and everybody's got their little bits and routines they like to do after wins, smiling for the camera. They know the cameras are rolling. Ingram walks through, and it wasn't even a game he played in. It was a game he was the backup in. And he just says, sports, competitive athletics, to no one in particular. And the tweet went out. And it was so funny. It may have even been the first game he dressed in for the Preds in the regular season. And Connor quote tweeted the tweet and said, there should be a rule that I have to be told when cameras are running at all times. Because he's just always going to be saying something like that. So it's the perfect backup goalie personality, as we've talked about with David Riddick a lot this season, who's also a very funny dude from the Czech Republic. Not an English speaker as his native language. Has picked it up very well over the last 5 years during his time first with the Flames, then a little bit with the Leafs, and now here with the Preds. But it's such a good fit. And now all of a sudden, with UC Saros out, he'll be out again today. That's as far as we know officially from the team. But it'll be Connor Ingram's net again, and the Preds need a win. They need another big performance from him. So where does Connor Ingram come from? He's from Imperial, Saskatchewan. Very small town in the Western Canadian province of Saskatchewan. Very similar situation to Tanner Jeannot, who's from Oxbow in Saskatchewan. These are small areas. Saskatoon is the big city in Saskatchewan. Regina is the other city up there as well. But there's so many hockey players from these small towns in that province. And this is Connor Ingram after the game on Thursday talking about his mom coming to the game. His mom, Joni, who it has been well documented. And we'll talk with Marty Hastings about this too. She is very, very nervous. Otherworldly nervous, I would say, watching her son play. His parents, Brent and Joni, drove down from Imperial to Denver for the first two games, including the game that he started on Thursday. This is what Connor said in the post-game press conference.
They're coming down. Is she still alive? Is she still alive?
I haven't heard otherwise.
Okay. I don't think they even watch when they're at home, so that was probably a roller coaster for them. Imperial, Saskatchewan. Somebody look that one up on Google Maps. Monday. Left Monday, stayed in Wyoming, got here Tuesday. Yeah. They're retired. They got nothing better to do.
Imperial, Saskatchewan. Somebody look that up on Google Maps. First, he needed to sarcastically make sure his mom still had a pulse after the game, because apparently watching on TV is too nerve-wracking as is, but in person, in his first NHL playoff start, on the road in overtime, needed a wellness check. And then another reporter asked where they drove from. Stopped in Wyoming on the way down after crossing the border from Imperial, Saskatchewan, Canada, the drive down to Denver. And we'll see if they're here again today. I know the Ingram family got some TV time on Bally Sports on the local broadcast, and they certainly have some big fans. So if you see Connor Ingram's parents today here in Smashville, give them a big hug. That's such a great part about playoff hockey. You got players' families here for every single game, families from other countries, from other continents, and it's really special. So the Preds already have a great family culture, especially with the high number of players they do with kids aged really 3 or younger. So many players are in between the age of 25 and 31, 32. Nobody on the team is older than 32, by the way. Mark Borowiecki is the oldest player on the team, and he's 32. Then after that, it's Roman Josi and Mattias Ekholm, who were both 31 and were born a week apart. Those are the oldest players on the team. So this is a young team and a lot of guys with young families. And it's always cool to see the families out and about here during the playoffs. But we'll talk more about Imperial Saskatchewan, his junior hockey tenure in Kamloops, British Columbia, and a whole lot more with Marty Hastings from Kamloops this week in the next segment. Marty's done a great job writing about Ingram's entire career, but starting with his junior hockey tenure in Kamloops that began in the fall of 2014. He was there all the way until the spring of 2017 when he turned pro, aged out of junior hockey, signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning, played in their minor leagues for a few years before being traded to the Predators for the smallest amount of trade compensation possible in the summer of 2019. They told him they wanted him to have a change of scenery. It was time for him to go to a new organization. And presumably, I don't know this for sure, but you got to imagine they shopped around for more, right? The Predators gave them a 7th-round pick in the NHL draft. That's the last round of the draft. A 7th-round pick in the NHL draft, and it wasn't even the next draft. It was 2 drafts from then in 2021. That's as far down as you're allowed to go in terms of what hockey picks you can trade. It's not like the NBA where I can say you can have my 2028 first-round pick and we'll figure it out later. They traded the smallest possible piece of compensation to get Connor Ingram from the Tampa Bay Lightning in the summer of 2019. Lightning were ready to be done with him. Well, he's figured it out here. Likely to be the Preds' backup to UC Saros next year. And for now, he's got the keys. He's got the keys, and he'll be in goal again today. By the way, that 7th-round pick did come up last year in the 2021 NHL draft. The Lightning selected an American winger named Cooper Flinton, who is from New Hampshire. He's 18 years old. He played for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in the USHL, American Junior Hockey, this year in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, and he will be a freshman in college at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire next year playing D1 hockey. So that's who the Predators gave up to get Connor Ingram, who has been the center of the hockey world in a lot of ways this week, despite the fact that the Preds didn't even win that game. That's how good he was. We'll take a break, come back, talk about Connor Ingram's career with Marty Hastings from Kamloops, BC, before Game 3 today, 3:30 puck drop. We're talking hockey all the way up until then. We need you loud today, Smashville. The Smash car is out on the plaza, all decked up in Avs colors. Make a donation to the Preds Foundation. Grab a hammer. Smash the Smash car. We want this to be the first of many playoff games here at Bridgestone Arena here in 2022. Avs lead the series 2-0. We'll see if the Preds can answer today. Max Herz hosting, Jared Cassidy producing. We got the whole crew ready to roll today here on your radio home for Preds hockey, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Preds Extra Pregame here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herr is with you here at Bridgestone Arena, getting you ready for Game 3 of the Preds and the Avs in this NHL first-round playoff series. And we head out to Western Canada for our next guest. Marty Hastings is a reporter for Kamloops this week, covering the Kamloops Blazers in the Western Hockey League. And he has covered Connor Ingram since he arrived in Kamloops back in the fall of 2015. Marty, thanks so much for doing this. Great to have you on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have you ever had a Kamloopsian on your show before?
I don't know, but I do have a lot of street cred in Kamloops because I went to the same high school as all of Mark Recchi's kids. So that's a lot of cred right there.
Look at that. That's an interesting tidbit.
They're all younger than me, but I will drop that just for our Kamloops listeners to give me a little bit of respect, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I'll put some respect on that for sure.
So Marty Hastings is our guest. Kamloops this week. Connor Ingram played there for three seasons, 2014 all the way through 2017, and he was the starter all three of those seasons. Marty did such a great job and still does chronicling his entire career. I guess we'll start with this week, Marty. What's it like for you to see Connor Ingram on the big stage?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually. You follow this guy, and he kind of goes through the junior ranks, and then he goes into the AHL, and he's kind of under the radar, and now all of a sudden he's just plastered over every media outlet, and rightly so. And you go back to this kid, he's just an underdog story. He's a salt-of-the-earth guy. He comes from a place called Imperial, Saskatchewan. It's a town of about 350 people, and I think their claim to fame there is a bakery called Georgie's Place and a grain elevator. So now you've got this, the claim to fame now for sure is Connor Ingram, and just a great family too. His parents, Brent and Joni, I got to know them a little bit. You can always kind of catch him beaking them over Twitter, and his three brothers, Bryce, Mark, and Kieran. Just a pleasure to get to know this guy, and he's kind of got this self-deprecating way of being.
Yep.
He's super funny, he's hilarious, but don't be fooled by that. Like underneath that, this guy's a competitor, and you saw that the other night.
Was he the starter all 3 years in Kamloops, and how unlikely was that?
Well, this is a guy who couldn't even make his bantam team in Saskatchewan. I mean, he probably went to Georgie's Place a little bit too much. You look at some of his photos; he was a little bit rotund, would be a way to put it. And he used to kind of make light of that himself and post pictures. But once he got here, he took the ball and ran with it. And the Blazers, though, give them some credit. Their scouting staff for years, since I've been here, basically almost 10 years, it's been a goaltending factory. And you can start with their head scout, Ken Fox. He's kind of the guy that maybe first extended that invite to Connor. And also, you can't talk about the Blazers' goalie situation without talking about their goalie whisperer, Dan DePalma. If you guys ever have Connor on, ask him about Danny DePalma and how influential he is to him and still is to him and to all these goaltenders. You've got Dylan Ferguson, who came before. He's in Henderson now with the Silver Knights. You've got Dylan Grand here now, who's lighting it up, and he's a New York Rangers prospect. All of these guys will swear by what Dan DePalma does.
I would have loved to have Dan on, but the current Blazers are in the midst of a second-round playoff series, so figured it wasn't the best time to do that. But good win last night against the Vancouver Giants in Game 1, sounds like.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement in this town about this team right now. Everything seems to be falling into place. It looks like they kind of avoided a major injury to one of their top players last night. Looked scary. Luke Toporowski, an American actually from Bettendorf, Iowa, scary shoulder injury, but he's kind of questionable for tonight. It looks like it's not going to be long term. But yeah, lots of excitement right now for the Blazers. It's been a long time since they've had a team that has this type of potential. Game 2 tonight at the Sandman Center.
Marty Hastings is our guest from Kamloops this week. He has covered Connor Ingram for over 8 years now, since the beginning of his junior career back in 2014 with the Kamloops Blazers in the Western Hockey League. I want to ask you about Ingram's prospect status. At what point, Marty, did he become a prospect? And what was it like watching his prospect status change once he was in the AHL with the Lightning and it was clear that they didn't really have any plans for him to ever make the big club?
Yeah, I mean, I think you go back to 15-16 is when he really put himself on the map. He had that .922, I think, save percentage with the Blazers. And the next year, he just cemented himself. He made the World Junior team. He had the record that still stands, the .927 save percentage. And from there, he got drafted by Tampa. I remember the day he was on the golf course when he got the all-caps text from his agent. And obviously went through some tough times there. It's well-documented, all the stuff he he's been through. And even your listeners might not know this, going back a little bit, he lost some friends in that tragic Humboldt Broncos bus accident in 2018. A really tough time for Connor and his family and everybody, you know, in our country, in that province as well. He fought through that, and he's been through a lot, and he's shown a lot of character in the way he's overcome a lot of things. It's been well documented, his player assistance program involvement. He's come through that. Now he's been public about how he needed to deal with that, and it's just such a cool story in so many ways.
What's it like for you as a reporter who obviously knows him so well and have his trust times 10 to have to call him up when bad things happen, either in his life or the Humboldt bus crash, things like that, and want to interview about him about it or ask for comment about it, things like that?
It's one of the neat things about being a community reporter is if you can kind of develop a rapport with people and earn some trust with them, they're confident in sharing some pretty personal things with you, and then you got to make sure that you handle them properly. So it's been my pleasure getting to know him, and he's a fan of The Bachelor on the lighter side of things. So we used to kind of go back and forth on Twitter, you know, picking our favorites and that kind of thing. He might be too big of a deal now to kind of get back at me on Twitter, but he is salt of the earth, and you guys are going to love him out there.
One other moment of his young career that you covered was when he was part of the 2017 World Junior team for Canada, and he and Carter Hart, who were both in the Western League, were the two goalies who got game action for that team. Obviously, Carter with the Flyers, also in the NHL. What was it like to see him try out for the team, make the team, and then play really meaningful minutes and goal for the Canadian junior team?
Well, it's another amazing kind of testament to his character. It was just such an accomplishment to make that team, but things didn't go as he would have loved for them to go. He ended up kind of giving up his spot, and Carter Hart got the call, and to his testament, to his character, he was the first guy to go and console Carter Hart when things didn't go well for him. And then again, I was at the airport to meet Connor when he came back, and he stood in there for a lot of tough questions. This was a guy, you know, again, speaking to his competitive spirit, that was down in the dumps. And there was people there to kind of lift him up from the city, and then there was the idiot reporter myself who was there to ask him some questions about all the things that he went through and the disappointments and the ups and downs. And he stood there and he answered those questions. You know who else was there at the airport? Danny DePalma. Danny DePalma picked him up there in his truck and probably debriefed him after the idiot reporter asked him some tough questions after he landed.
That's a good goalie coach right there. We're talking to Marty Hastings from Kamloops this week out in BC. Been covering Connor Ingram since the beginning of his junior hockey career in 2014 in British Columbia. And Marty, of the articles of yours I read about Connor Ingram, and you've referenced this one many times already, if I could encourage Preds fans to read one, if they want to pick one to read, it would be from right before that World Juniors, December 2016. Amazing headline, Canada Comes Calling. Chubby Kid from Imperial to represent Blazers at World Juniors. And Chubby Kid is in quotes. It was his words, not yours. But what an amazing article. And it was really the first look at his life in Imperial and how many times he'd been passed over. And we've relived this a lot this week with his parents getting TV time, him talking about his mom being just otherworldly nervous to even watch a game on TV after the game on Thursday. What was your first swath of Connor Ingram's family and hometown life like back in 2016?
Yeah, I mean, it took some time for me to get to know them. But it was kind of cool that story unraveled. I mean, I made one call, and then next thing you know, I'm talking to, like, elementary school teachers who coached him in second-year Bantam. And I guess if there's a common theme, it was kind of what I mentioned earlier. It's like, just don't be lulled into thinking that this guy is just so kind of happy-go-lucky, content to kind of just laugh things off when things don't go his way. It's a great attitude to have, and that's what he'll be like publicly. But, man, this guy is competitive, and it was cool. I mean, yeah, I think it was the Sask Valley Vipers, his Bantam team, eventually welcomed him on, kind of like, okay, well, we'll let this chubby kid, and I can say chubby kid because he was in quotes, because that's what his mom said, so I hope I don't get ripped for that. That's what his mom said, and then his dad told me, like, this is not the first time, this is even back then, that he'd been passed over for these spots. And then I guess his big breakout, though, the Blazers listed him, and then he went to play midget AAA in Prince Albert, and he went to the final, brought that team to the final of the national championship, midget AAA, and just went lights out. Went to that zombie mode that you saw the other night, that kind of totally in the zone, unconscious, lights out, where you just, it's going to take Cale Makar to beat him. And he just ripped it up in that final, cemented his spot so that when he got to the camp that year, they knew that this guy was a player, undrafted into the Western League as well, and just worked his way onto the team, and is a great story.
So for those who don't know how the junior drafts work, once you get passed over once, anyone can try you out and sign you. Is that how it works?
Basically, you can just be listed by a team, and once you're listed, you can't be picked up by another team is kind of how it works. So the Blazers did a good job in listing him. I mean, and that scouting staff did a heck of a job and continues to do a good job identifying these goaltenders that are the backbones of some of these good teams.
So you've known his family for over 5 years now. You've known him for 8 years, and you, of course, have interviewed and met so many hockey parents in Western Canada. Is his mom actually the most nervous hockey parent in the world? Or should I say high-level hockey parent in the world?
I don't want to give off the impression that I'm best friends with the Ingrams. Like, I've talked to them on the phone, you know, multiple times, but I can't speak to exactly how nervous she is. But I don't doubt that. I mean, there's a reason why he wouldn't tell his own mom that he's going to start a National Hockey League playoff game. So I think you can take his word for that. I can tell you that they're just great people. I mean, everybody you talk to will say the same thing, and I don't think that's uncommon for people in a grain belt hamlet like Imperial.
That's great. So just kind of outlook going forward as we talk with Marty Hastings about Connor Ingram from Kamloops this week out in BC, British Columbia, Canada. The plan right now, of course, keeps starting him until UC Saros comes back, likely to be the Preds' backup next year. What do you think about Connor's career going forward?
Well, I think he's showing it's his time. I mean, he's gone through all this adversity now. He's come through it. He's no longer the rotund Georgie's Place chubby goaltender, and he's proven that, hey, look, I mean, even the other night, that they lost the game, but that I think it was a shorthanded 2-on-1 against Cale Makar, and it didn't look like a fantastic save, right? He basically kind of just stood there, and Makar shot it into his glove, but look at the positioning there and how calm he was. He let in the first goal, which is actually, he let in the first goal, his first Western Hockey League, he let in his first shot in his first Western Hockey League game, if I'm not mistaken, and also in his first AHL game. So and then he did it in that playoff game, lets in his first shot and bounces back. So that should tell you a bit about his mental toughness, too. I think he's ready. Maybe he has to go somewhere else to get his opportunity, but I think a performance like the one that he had the other night will go a long way, and now he's got an opportunity to back that up.
That's great. Marty Hastings, great job talking, Connor Ingram. Thanks so much for joining us all the way from Kamloops, British Columbia, and enjoy game two of the Blazers playoff series tonight against Vancouver.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
That's great. Marty Hastings from Kamloops this week, our guest for this segment, talking about Connor Ingram. You can follow Marty on Twitter at MarTheReporter, M-A-R the reporter, and he is from Kamloops this week, and there are a lot of great articles that he has written that you can find either on Twitter or on KamloopsThisWeek.com about Connor Ingram, really every single step of his career. And it's I'm glad Marty has enjoyed it as much as he has to have such a long-standing relationship. And I've been fortunate to have that type of relationship with the amateur athletes I've covered as college players and a lot of Vanderbilt baseball players, things like that, many of whom are in the majors right now. So it's a really special position to be in and to have somebody's trust like that. And I think Marty's done a great job with it. And man, what an interesting career and hockey life that Connor Ingram has had. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of rejection along the way, even before getting to pro hockey. You heard about the various steps from Marty. He didn't get drafted into the Western League. He didn't even make his Bantam team, things like that. And then some sadness, too. We know about the mental health treatment that he received for obsessive compulsive disorder soon after he joined the Predators during the 2020-2021 season. And he played a little bit for the Humboldt Broncos organization, which sadly is known for the 2018 bus crash. And he knew four of the players who died in the crash and also knew some, or four of the players who were in the crash and some of the players from that team who survived as well. So, a lot goes into hockey life. A lot does. And here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, USA. Feels like it could be worlds and worlds away. And you heard his parents drove from Imperial, Saskatchewan, made a stop somewhere in Wyoming. Maybe they were hanging out at Kara Hammer's childhood home. Who knows, at the University of Wyoming. but they made some stops along the way. It's a big, big continent, and the majority of the hockey players that you will see today, the North American players in this game today coming to the game, are not from this side of it. So it's really cool to hear those types of stories as we get you ready for game number 3 of Preds and Avs here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herr is with you. We'll take a break. Another half hour of Preds Extra pregame before Darren McFarland takes over at 2:30. Then puck drop at 3:30 here on your radio home for Preds Hockey, 102.5 The Game. Hope you're ready, Smashville. Hour and a half until playoff puck drop here at Bridgestone Arena for game number 3 of the first round series between the Nashville Predators and the Colorado Avalanche on this Saturday late afternoon, 3:30 Central Time puck drop right here in Smashville. Right here on 102.5 The Game, Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have the call. Darren McFarland will take over in 27 minutes with the Lee Company Nashville Predators pregame show. Robbie Stanley will join him for the first segment of that. So do not change your dial all the way through the end of the postgame show today. Pete, Hal, Darren, Robbie, they've all got you covered. Let's take a look at the Preds AHL affiliate Milwaukee Admirals, who opened up their AHL Calder Cup playoffs last night. They're playing a best-of-five series, and they won the first game. 3-2 with a late winner over the Manitoba Moose, the AHL affiliate of the Winnipeg Jets. They got the game-winning goal with 4 minutes and 7 seconds left in regulation from their captain, Cole Schneider. Scored the game winner. It was 2-2. That made it 3-2, and Devin Cooley and the boys were able to hold on in goal with Connor Ingram, their starter all year up here in the NHL. Is Devin Cooley, the AHL backup, taking over. Braden Burke and Matt Donovan had the other two goals for the Ads in the game. They led 2-1 after two. It was 2-2 less than a minute into the third, and then Schneider with the game winner, again, with a little over 4 minutes left in regulation. And game one of the Calder Cup playoffs, best of five series up there in Milwaukee. And the Admirals actually get to start the series at home, even though they are the lesser seed in their division. It's a best of five to minimize travel in the minor league. The Admirals get the first two at home, and then Manitoba gets the final three at home. But if somebody sweeps, the Admirals could end up with more home games in the series, even as the lower seed. So the Ads lead that 1-1 nothing. Game two is at 6 o'clock tonight at UWM Panther Arena in Milwaukee, which is the new home of the Admirals. They have changed arenas within the city over the last couple of seasons. The Ads were very heavily outshot in that game last night, 42-21. And the number one star of the game, you heard him right here on Preds Extra on Thursday night with me, kind enough to join us for an interview. He played 27 games for the Preds this year. You guys know Tommy Novak, fourth line center in October, November, and December for the Preds. His first ever NHL action for the 25-year-old from the University of Minnesota. He assisted on all three Ads goals last night. So a great night for Tommy Novak. Finally, someone I interview cashes in on it. So I won't take any credit, just kidding. But a very nice night for Novak, who's the top line center for the Admirals right now. And they've had Connor Ingram all year. Ingram has played the vast majority of their games in goal. So is Devin Cooley stepping up with 40 big saves and just two goals allowed. But most of us around here, and I bet you right here in Smashville on your way to the game, care a little bit more about the backup goalie in that game. He didn't play, but it was Preds' first-round pick in 2020, Yaroslav Askarov, dressing for a hockey game in North America for the first time ever. Askarov played in the KHL this year. Played might be a strong word. He was on a KHL team, but according to Preds GM David Poile, basically just shoved to the bottom of the depth chart, as sometimes happens when KHL Russian coaches know that this is a player who's going to the NHL and isn't going to do anything for us here in Russia. So we're going to punish him for that, which is ridiculous. But Askarov did not play a starter's role in the KHL this year. He is currently signed to a tryout agreement with the Milwaukee Admirals, so he is not yet under contract with the Preds. I imagine the Preds will attempt to sign him to an entry-level deal this summer. But Askarov dressed as the backup in that game. And there was some footage on the Admirals' Twitter account of him on the ice in warm-ups, and One of the great Preds prospects, first round pick. Why did you pick a goalie? Well, they picked a pretty good goalie. So we're looking forward to seeing Askarov. And we heard from Tommy Novak on Thursday, asked him about Askarov. What's it like seeing him play in North American hockey for the first time? And Novak said, he's a pretty funny guy. Doesn't have a lot of English right now, but he's still pretty funny. So we got another funny guy coming our way here in Smashville, and I imagine he is beginning the process of learning American English as he takes foothold in Milwaukee. His first week in the U.S., Yaroslav Askarov serving as the playoff backup for the Milwaukee Admirals, who won last night 3-2 against the Manitoba Moose. In the first game of that best of five, again, 6 o'clock tonight, game two of that Calder Cup playoff series. And then the next three will be in Winnipeg, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, if it needs to go that far, at the home of the Winnipeg Jets. They are not using it right now, and they share that arena. So games 3, 4, and 5 will be up there, but congrats to the Admirals on that win last night. And we'll take a break and hear an interview that those of you who are listening an hour ago already heard, but I want to play it again because Cody McLeod, Preds legend, member of the 2017 Cup Final team, was on with us to talk about this series between his two former teams, the Preds and the Avs. We'll take a break, come back, reprise that interview. Cody played in the AHL this season with the Wilds minor league team in Des Moines, Iowa. He is back here in Nashville where he makes his offseason home, and you'll hear that next. We're getting you ready for Game 3 coming up a little under an hour and a half from now here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Bridgestone Arena, getting you ready for Game 3 of the Preds and Avs first-round playoff series. Max Herz, your host here on Preds Extra Pregame. David Janes, our producer. He will be our highlight producer for this afternoon's game. With Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call, Preds need a win. Coming home down 0-2 to the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop a little bit after 3:30 today. You can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game. If you're in Nashville, you can watch it on Bally Sports, as you have all year. If you are outside of Nashville, you can watch it on TNT. National broadcasters today will actually be the Vegas Golden Knights TV booth, which I like very much. Very positive reviews from me for both Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty, former NHL defenseman, who will be on play-by-play and color this afternoon on TNT. For those of you watching the game outside of Nashville, and it's all the best parts about breathing in a playoff game. You walk into the arena and they're putting new ads on the boards. They're putting the National Advertiser stickers up on the dashers. There's extra lights in the building for the hype video. They're testing out the songs, things like that. So it's playoff game day. It's playoff game day, and we are excited to have you guys back here. And we were at full capacity in the playoffs last season, and boy, does it feel like a long time ago when we did not have full capacity, but this is the first full normal 82-game season since COVID, so soak it in, everybody. It's always great to be in Smashville, and we had, in my opinion, an absolute Preds legend to get the show started today. Cody McLeod, Preds winger for parts of 3 different seasons and 2 different stints, played in the AHL this year as the captain of the Wilds minor league team. 10 years with the Avs, 3 years with the Preds, fighting everybody. Is there anybody better to talk about this year's Preds team and this specific playoff series than Cody McLeod? He was nice enough to join us last hour.
...and just met the team.
That's Cody McLeod in an interview from last hour on Preds Extra here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland is here. Robbie Stanley is here. Ladarius Robinson is here. Jeremy Benefield is here. The Patron Platinum Club is filling up for the first home playoff game of 2022 here at Bridgestone Arena. We're going to have some fun. Hopefully you're on your way to the rink right now. If you're in Smashville, there's a watch party too on the plaza right across from the arena, in right across from the Country Music Hall of Fame. So plenty of ways to come by and watch the Preds game, either in person or on the big screen across the street. Want to thank our 3 producers for this hour and a half. I mean, what service we got, right? 3 producers for 90 minutes of radio. Jared Cassidy, David Janes, and Ian Safar, father of 2, back on the dials today here in Smashville. Darren McFarland takes over with the Lee Company Nashville Predators pregame show coming up next. Then puck drop at 3:30, game 3. Preds and Avs here at Bridgestone Arena. My name's Max Herz. That's it for Preds Extra Pregame today here on 102.5 The Game.